Mere conservatism.
David Perry, I'm Cleve Walker, and this is Mere Conservatism.
Something that has exploded here in the public eye here lately.
And it started, well, it didn't start with this, but it kind of exploded further when Donald Trump had a video that was posted to Truth Social, in which basically said, the states will determine by vote or legislation, or perhaps both, he said, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land as regards abortion.
In that state.
Yeah. And he said many states will be different. Many states will have a different number of weeks. At the end of the day, it's about the will of the people. That's what he said on the statement. So, wow. And since then, you're right. It's boom.
Because people have very strong reaction to this. Now, this was a, Cleve, this was a flowery political way of saying, I'm staying out of it. That was what Trump Trump has set his policy when it comes to abortion. Mm-hmm. He's staying out of it.
Well, now, I don't say he's... Well,
That's my interpretation of it. I think that's exactly what he's doing.
I don't think he's staying out of it. I think he's playing... what's the word? He's playing it cool in a sense that he's still saying abortion. I'm against abortion. And he's not saying he's for abortion. All right? He's not saying that.
Well,
I mean, you can extrapolate that if you want to, but he's not saying I'm not for abortion. As a matter of fact, what he did do, and then I want you to comment on this, because I don't think our side does this enough. He reiterated that the Democrats want abortion up to 9 months and then beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not saying that enough. So now you take it from there.
So there's, as often is the case, there's two different things going on with Trump. One is his policy. Mm-hmm. One is his proposed policy. The second and distinct thing is what he says.
Okay.
These are two different things. And this is something that is frustrating about Donald Trump. It's something that people don't always realize when they hear him talking. Now, his policy, his state... He came out, he was going to make a speech saying what his policy was on abortion. Mm-hmm. His policy is, and let me simplify this for you, he's not touching it. He's staying out of it.
Okay.
Now, what
okay.
he says, on the other hand, actually is not even that he's against abortion. Mm-hmm. What he says is that it's okay up to 15 weeks, which is not good, which is not a pro-life position.
See, now
he has, hear me
all
out.
Right, okay.
He has said that the 5-week abortion ban in Florida is bad. He has said that the complete abortion ban in Arizona is bad, that it should be something more
exceptions.
Like 15 weeks, which is a
also
very,
exceptions. There's no exceptions,
exceptions.
Okay.
Which is a very moderate position. Now, that's not my position. Mm-hmm. And that's not the position of the pro-life movement. But unfortunately, that's actually the position of most Americans, which is a very moderate position on abortion. So he says that as his opinion. But his policy is the states are going to handle it. We're not going to touch it. Those are actually two distinct things. And so what he is doing here is this is what he's attempting to do. I don't know if this is going to be successful, but we know that this is an issue that drives Democrat turnout.
And they're using it, yes.
And we have seen it over the last few years, ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned. We have seen Democrats turn out in special elections to vote for abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Donald Trump's attempt
to kind of take
this issue off the table.
Gotcha.
Because if he says, look, the states are going to decide, which is the truth and has been the case ever since Roe was overturned, the states are going to decide and I'm not going to touch it. It makes it a lot harder for Joe Biden to run on. Donald Trump is going to take away your ability to make a choice about abortion when it's really not Donald Trump. It's your state legislature and your state governor that's doing it. And so this is Donald Trump trying to take a bullet out of the chamber for the Democrats. Now, Cleve, I am not an abortion. I'm not a moderate on abortion.
No.
And you're not a moderate on abortion. I actually think that it should be banned.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not where most of the country is. And my position for a long time has been, and we've talked about this, I would, as a politician and as a voter, I will vote for whatever I can get that is going to limit abortion. Any limit whatsoever, right. I will vote for it.
Right.
In other words, if I was a politician and you put a 15-week ban on my desk right now, I would sign that, even though that's not my position. I don't believe
you.
In that.
And that's well put, by
And
the
so
way.
The reason yeah. I'm saying that yeah. is this is why pro-life people need to vote for Donald Trump, because this is, unfortunately, but it's the truth, this is the best we can do right now. And there is something to be said for incrementalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so pro-life position right now needs to be to vote for the most pro-life candidate we have, which is Donald Trump. And then if you have an issue with specific policy, this is a state by state issue. You need to then appeal to your state politicians and get it done on the state level.
Now, see, you said a mouthful right there, because in the minute Trump put it this way, and I know he didn't just put it this way by himself. I'm sure he talked with the people who know how to put things and communicate a whole lot better than he does. But the Roe v. Wade decision for me was putting it back to the states to begin mm-hmm. with. That was my understanding. We want to take it out of a centralized power base in D.C. and let it be an issue that the states grapple with.
Well, and actually, as a pro-life person, I wouldn't mind actually having a federal law that bans abortion. I don't, but that's not where we're at right now.
Right.
That's not what overturning Roe did.
Right.
And so this is one of those things you can't just say, you can't just have all or nothing, because what you're going to get is nothing.
It's nothing. And we talked about this before. Okay. My policies is I want to give the most restrictive abortion policies we can get.
Mm-hmm.
But in understanding that, that's the stipulation. Whatever we can get, we are not going to get a total ban on it. And I'm just being honest.
Well, it's
not going to happen right now.
The thing that is bothering people mm-hmm. about what Trump is saying, first of all, the left is lying. Mm-hmm. They're saying that forget what he said in his statement about it being up to the states. He's going to ban it. So they're lying about what he said. So the problem for most pro-life people right now is not the policy, because the policy isn't different than it has been since Roe was overturned. We're happy about that. The problem for most pro-life people is the rhetoric. And look, it's not uncommon, Cleve, for Donald Trump to say bad things.
Right.
I hate to say it.
But the point is, David, before you go any further, I don't think sometimes he's even saying what he's saying. I think he's not, even though we give him credit for it, he's not the best communicator. And so sometimes he said something or oversays, and that's not what he's trying to say. I can tell.
And we can tell because we know him what he's trying to do. And
right.
it's not always the best thing. So recently he got in trouble with pro-life people because the Arizona Supreme Court said that a law that was on the books that completely banned abortion, with some exceptions, could be enforced. Mm-hmm. And so now abortion is just banned in Arizona, except for risk to the life of the mother. They asked Donald Trump about that. And Donald Trump, instead of saying what he should have said, which I'll tell you in a minute what he should have said, he basically said, no, that's bad, that they went too far.
I heard that.
That's not good.
Yeah, I
and they're going to fix it and stuff like that. And pro-life people are saying, what are you talking about? It's bad.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's bad to not murder babies?
But that's
that doesn't
not what,
sound
that's
right.
That's not what he meant. Okay.
It's not what he meant, because he is playing a political game here, and he is making a calculation when he says stuff like that. But here's what he should have said, because I thought about this, and I thought this is not that hard. Trump, I feel like, could be better at this, and he should have said, listen, the total ban is a very old law. There is a newer law in Arizona that bans abortion at 15 weeks, which, by the way, they have – since that old law was passed, they have a new law that bans it at 15 weeks. Both of these laws are on the books. He said 15 weeks is more representative of where the people of Arizona are at on the issue. It's their issue to address, and they're going to address
it. That would have been a way to put it. I agree.
All he had to say, he didn't have
can't do that, though. That's the problem. Now, here's what people need to understand. Whether it's about the abortion issue, whether it's about China, whether it's about any other kind of issue— what Trump is doing is this. He does not want anybody to set the table for him, okay? He doesn't want anybody to stake out positions that he feels like he is going to be able to go in and negotiate the best position. And I'm not trying to say it's right. I'm saying that's his mindset. I don't want the deck stacked. I want to go in there and I want to arrange it the way I want to.
Well, and by the way, Cleve, he is very successfully, I think, making himself the moderate in this race. He is framing himself as the moderate in this race. Think about his statement when he talks about his abortion policy. He made sure, you brought this out, he made sure to say what the Democrats' policy is, which is abortion on demand for any reason. That no Democrat will tell you, if you were to ask any Democrat, none of them will say what their limit is. They always say it should be between a woman and her doctor, which basically means no limit on abortion.
Exactly.
That's what it means.
And we need to keep
Trump
pinning them on
that. That is a radical position. Trump brings that out when he makes that statement. And that's why when Trump says, look, I think that people should decide in their states what the law in their state is. And he would even say, he would probably say, I don't think he should say this, but he would probably even say, I'm comfortable with a 15-week ban. I think that's a good idea in Arizona or whatever. But hey, Democrats, they want it all the way up until birth.
Right.
That's what they would do if they were. He's positioning himself as the moderate
the
on this issue.
And the general public is not for that, by the way.
No, they're not.
And that's why we need to, and he's right to do that. That's why we need to constantly harp on that and not let them get away without answering that question, because the so-called moderate Democrats, whatever that is, will try to give you an impression we're not radical that way. But you're not denying it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not saying no.
They're going to try to make this a Trump issue, and it's just not a Trump issue. It isn't. And if Trump, and he's trying to do it, if he can successfully take himself out of it, and I really think his comments on Arizona doesn't really help him do that.
Mm-hmm.
If he can successfully take himself out of it, though, he may neuter this issue for the Dems. And I've heard some criticisms of him by some people on the right saying, "What is he doing? Mm-hmm. He's not going to win pro-abortion voters. He's not going to win those people. So what is he doing?" But that's not what he's trying to do. These people are missing what Trump is doing. He is not trying to win pro-abortion voters. He's trying to take that issue away because it drives turnout.
Right.
And if he takes the issue away, Dem turnout could go down and it will help him.
That issue actually helped the Democrats retain the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
The fact they were able to harp on the abortion issue and energize their people in a way they would not have been otherwise, Senator Troop. So it's right. And unfortunately, though, our side... We like to shoot our wounded. We like circular firing squads. For example, even Pence has come out and just really lambasted Trump on this. Even though he's no longer in the game, he's representing those who are so pure in their stance that they don't understand, okay, we are not saying we're for abortion under any circumstance, but we have to face the reality. This is where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, since Roe v. Wade was overturned, less babies have been aborted. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is statistically proven. Now, babies are still being aborted, but can we not at least be happy that less lives are taken? And so to the degree we can restrict this awful abomination, let's do it. And let's understand we're not going to get right now a total ban.
Unfortunately, it's going to have to be an incremental thing.
Unfortunately,
and,
I agree with
and
you.
And Pence is just wrong. I mean, this is not a Trump issue, okay? And Pence is just wrong. Trump has, like it or hate it, he's punted this. He's punted this because he does not want this to be an issue in the presidential campaign. And so that he's punting it. And so Pence is just wrong to criticize Trump on this. He's not taking a position. That's what he's trying.
And it's the only thing the Dems have. Right now, Biden is so bad, David. He is underwater in so many areas. This is the only area he's not underwater on as far as abortion rights. I even hate that term, but it's the only glimmer or spark that he has in his campaign. Everything for him else is gone.
In a way, he is underwater in it, though, because his position on it is radical.
Right.
And so
I got you.
Okay. And so—
But that's not the way it's framed.
Yeah, so that's not the way it's framed. So the way it's being framed is that Democrats are— for for a choice being able to be made, and Republicans are not. And so that is not what most people want. Mm-hmm. Most people want some abortion restrictions at a certain number of weeks, or certain viability is one for a lot of people. And that's where they're at on it. And right. And so, but see, Biden, you won't hear Biden make take a position like that. Biden won't say, I think abortion should be restricted after 20 weeks or anything like that. He won't do it.
Not at all.
And so really he's the radical on it, but that's not where the discussion and the debate is at the moment. And if Republicans, they either need to reframe that debate like Trump tried to do or take it off the table. I don't really know how this will develop, but that's where we're at on it.
All I know is that right now the Roe v. Wade decision was to take it out of Washington and make it a state's matter. And so we need to understand, to me, that's the principle of what happened. And so let the states fight it out. Now, we know what California's going to do, unfortunately. We know what New York is going to do. But let us...
We also know what Alabama's going to do.
Right.
And Georgia. And so...
Let's go with that. Okay. And that's a good thing. So anyway, I'm glad you brought that up, because those are some of the intricacies of the campaign that a lot of folks on our side are not grasping. For example, this whole hullabaloo going on in the House right now, all right, because they don't believe that the Republicans, I say don't, the more conservative Republicans are believing that House Speaker Johnson is not conservative enough on the issues of like aid for Ukraine. And I, by the way, I'm not for aid for Ukraine right now, okay? But having said that, we don't have enough people in there to win this battle. I mean, right now, we got a one-vote majority thanks to people who are dropped off. And you can hoop and holler all you want to. You're not going to do anything with that.
Yeah. You and I sit here and talk, Cleve, and here's the thing.
Okay.
You're not going to find two people that are more conservative than you and I are.
1%, 100%.
You might find people that are just as conservative as we are. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to find people that are more conservative than we are. And however, one thing that I feel like we are able to do that sometimes people like Marjorie Taylor Greene apparently hasn't been able to do so far, or other commentators on social media or whatever, is that we realize that we have our ideals, but we also exist in reality.
Right.
And we understand what position we're in. And what you're able to do, you know, if you think about it like a football game or something like that, sometimes you got to take the play that's available to you. Sometimes you got to take the 3-yard run if that's what the defense gives you. Mm-hmm. And we have, like you said, we have a 1-seat majority in the House. We do not control the Senate. And this battle that they're fighting against Mike Johnson, who is the most conservative speaker we've ever had, it's just misguided.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he is in a position where he's got to do some things that if he had a bigger majority, he probably wouldn't have to do. This is the reality that we have on the ground. This is not a this is an example of allowing perfect to be the enemy of good.
Right. Right. And again, we're conservative, we're Christians, and we have definite convictions, okay? But House Speaker Johnson, bless his heart, he's got to deal with the hand that's been given him.
Well,
and it's a mighty thin hand right now.
And just say it's a thin hand, and think about this. Say we maybe I don't even like what Mike Johnson is doing and what the deal is, but say we kick him out, we take the speakership away. What happens? What happened last time? We had weeks and weeks and weeks of Republicans trying to figure out who is going to be the Speaker of the House. And they had a bigger majority then than they do now.
Right.
So guess what's going to happen this time when they oust Mike Johnson? And then we have weeks of no speaker and nothing happens. And all of a sudden, the Democrats are able to peel off a few liberal Republicans.
Right.
And they elect Hakeem Jeffries, the Speaker of the House, because they have the votes. That will happen. I hate to tell you, that's what's going to happen. And Marjorie Taylor Greene does not have a plan. It's just like the last guy who did this. They don't have a plan for who's going to take over.
No.
All they do is they're just mad at what's happening, and they're They're mad at the players. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Now, and I agree with them only to this extent. Unfortunately, for years, even when we had greater majorities, the Republicans did not follow through on their promises. They did not really set a truly conservative agenda.
That's true.
I understand that frustration. I've been frustrated
that
way.
Yep. All right.
We're not there right now. Okay.
No. We're not there right now.
That's
and so
point.
Yeah, and so one thing you tell yourself is you get frustrated by that reality, but is the solution to that reality blowing it up and handing it to Democrats? That's what I don't agree with. Some people think that is the solution because you know what? If Republicans aren't going to act the way with Republicans like these, who needs Democrats? And just hand it over to the Democrats. Look, I understand that is an emotional response, and I might even have that response for a moment at times. But then I keep my head and I realize what's at stake. This is not a game.
No.
This is our lives, unfortunately, and it impacts our lives way too much. And we just can't do that. We have to do the best we can with what we've got.
We don't have a chance. We don't have the leeway to say, well, we're going to stand on our convictions. And so this time around, we'll know that once we get back in power, we mean what we say. If we don't win these elections coming up now, we don't get another chance, mm-hmm. David. And that's my unspin. I want you to hear what House Speaker Mike Johnson told CBN News. He was interviewed about his position, his situation, and his stance. He said, it's important to note that this is not a job that I aspire to personally. He said, never aspired to do this. He said, the problem is he finds himself with a one-seat majority and a split caucus. He said, Democrats typically tend to think more like a union. They stick together. They're more monolithic. He says, they move like a herd. He said, but Republicans, by contrast, we're rugged individualists, and that's good. He said, we care deeply about our core principles and our philosophy, and we're not easily moved. And that's a blessing, usually. He said, but right now, you're trying to keep all the cats together and moving in the same direction because it's now or never to do some stuff. And, I wish they could understand that. This is a good guy. I didn't even know him from Adam before, but I like this guy.
The thing, politics is a team sport.
Yeah.
And I hate to tell people this. It's ugly, and maybe you don't like it, and maybe I don't like it, but it's a team sport. And the rugged individualism thing, that doesn't work in this situation. This is not a time for that.
Right.
This is a time for winning, and you do that as a team.
Right now, we cannot compete with each other. We've got to compete together, all right? And if we get some more solid majorities, we can hold their feet to the fire about doing some things they promised. Like, they didn't do it in the past. So anyway, it's kind of a frustrating thing about that. Trump is not really the best communicator, but I know what he's trying to say. He doesn't always say it as well as he could. And also, I'm learning what Trump is like. For example, even in the foreign policy matters, he does not want anybody setting the table for him. He's not going to even come out and be as forceful as I want him to be for Israel, tell you the truth. I want him to be a lot more forceful than he has been. But he wants to leave the space open so he can come in and set the table himself as he sees it best, because he considers himself a deal maker. Mm-hmm. And you can't make deals, I think, in his mind, if you've already got all the parties alienated and they won't come out of their sandboxes to play.
Yeah. I really think that a lot of Trump's campaign is going to be, trust me, bro. in that, I do think that he is going to keep a lot of things close to the vest. Mm-hmm. I think that he is probably going to say a lot of things that will frustrate conservatives, mm-hmm. because he is going to count on his record as president with conservatives to get them behind him, and he is going to moderate. I really think we've already seen him moderate. I've said that several times already today, but I think we're going to continue to see him moderate, and I think that's going to bother. I think it's going to annoy some conservatives, but this is going to be Trump's way of diffusing the main attacks that the Democrats are, because they're going to, the attacks on him are going to be that he's a radical, that he's a tyrant, that he's this and that he's that. And if he can diffuse even a little bit of that, Biden is such a bad president, and his record is so bad, and people are so unhappy, he's going to increase his chance of winning. He's going to look at conservatives and say, trust me, bro.
I believe one of the reasons Trump is there, and I'm thinking about this providentially now, okay, because I would love if we had a nominee who was a born again, a believer with solid Christian convictions and a track record of a testimony for the Lord. I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we need somebody, though, like a Trump in this atmosphere that we're in right now. And that's just my humble opinion.
I would love to have the person you described. I would also love to have a awesome red state governor with nothing but W's on his ledger mm-hmm. in Ron DeSantis. I would much rather have somebody like that. Mm-hmm. But again, you and I, we try our best. We talk idealistically mm-hmm. sometimes. We try our best to, when we're talking about politics, to operate in reality. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the reality that we have been given. We have Trump running and we have to win. And look, I have some friends that are very pro Ron DeSantis and they hate Trump mm-hmm. because of how nasty Trump was to mm-hmm. DeSantis.
Right.
Now, I don't like that either.
No.
And in 16, I was a Ted Cruz guy, and I wasn't happy.
I
wasn't happy with how nasty Trump was to Ted Cruz. But I got to be honest with you, Cleve. I don't care about Donald Trump enough to try to punish him for being mean to some other guy that also doesn't know me. Do you see what I'm saying?
I don't
care about any of these people enough to risk what a Biden presidency means to my family.
Thank you. Here's the thing, and I agree with you on this. You have said, even at the beginning, when Trump was running the first time, even before it looked like he was going to be the nominee, it's not about Trump, okay? It's in his mind, I think it is, okay? But it's not about Trump. And other people are saying, it's not about Trump. He's a big ego. But the point is, if you make yourself a never-Trumper, you have made it about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Yes.
You have made, if it's not about Trump, then it shouldn't be about Trump. It should be about the issues. And by saying, I'm just not going to participate, or I'm going to vote for some third party deal, or I'm just going to sit at home. No, that is you making Trump the center of the thing. So my point being is, I believe that he's right now the person that we need to get behind. And you might not like him, hold your nose, and vote for him because, again, and I don't say this to scare anybody, but I think it's the reality. I don't think we get another chance if we blow this.
People say that sometimes, and it seems hyperbolic. Mm-hmm. And I actually think there is a chance mm-hmm. that is actually true this time, mm-hmm. just because we may already be too far gone as a country. Even if Trump is elected,
right.
We may be too. I mean,
that's a possibility.
I think people underestimate how far we have slid, and how far down the hole we've gotten. However, I think it's my job. And when I think about my family, and I think my kids have to grow up here.
Yeah.
I have a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old mm-hmm. who's potty training right now. By the way, so pray for us. But they gotta grow up here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not proper for me to phone it in and just say, well, it just burn it down.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do that to my children. I've got to hold on to whatever semblance of good and whatever is left of the good form of government we have, and I've got to do that. I've got to do what I can, even if it doesn't succeed. How can I be the father that I'm supposed to be if I don't at least try
exactly
to hold on to some remnant mm-hmm. of what's good about our government? And so that's what I plan on doing. And I think that every sane person should do that.
And here it is again. This is to me do or die time. And I don't believe I'm exaggerating it. We have an opportunity, and by rights to me, unless something real chicanery happens. Right now, I believe Trump is poised to win. I really believe that in my heart. I'm not saying what might happen tomorrow, but I'm saying at this particular point, all right, all things taken together, all polls taken together right now. But we'll have to wait and see. David, great discussion, great illumination on this very controversial topic, especially the fact of pro-life and how we can best establish a pro-life cause without blowing up the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
How can folks hear the conversation again?
You can find us on Facebook, if Facebook allows me to post. Every now and then it acts up and doesn't want me to post
that.
Our podcast.
I've noticed that.
But find our Mere Conservatism page on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Interact with us on Twitter. We'd love to have you there. You can hear the podcast on Apple Podcasts, the app on your phone, or on Spotify.
And as always, the battle, I don't believe it's over with yet. Keep the faith. Keep fighting on. David Perry and I'm Cleve Walker. This has been Mere Conservatism. We'll see you next time.